We're in the middle of Mitzvah Kuf Samech Vav 166, which is discussing the Tumah, the ritual impurity, both in terms of touching holy foodstuffs and Truma and things like that, anything that could become Tumi, and the prohibition of a woman who has just given birth to be with her husband, or anyone else, but hopefully with only applies to her husband. So we discussed that Tumas Yoledes is not limited to a woman who gives birth to a full-term healthy baby, but it's even if she suffers a miscarriage relatively early in the pregnancy, then she's still obligated to follow the laws of a woman who is Tumi because she has given birth. So, but how early is it that she has to be concerned that she's actually, that the thing that she's carrying is actually has the status of a vlad, of a baby, and is not just what we call in Chazal, maya ba'alma, just water. It's not even considered significant enough to be considered a fetus or embryo yet. I mean, it's considered an embryo in colloquial scientific terminology, but not in halachic terminology. It's not an uber, it's not a vlad. Davka shavru aleha arba'im yom mishenis abra. So rule number one that you have to know is the woman has to be pregnant for at least 40 days. So the day, 40th day, is considered to be the same halacha as before the 40th day. So from days 1 through 40 of the pregnancy, she is considered in halacha. I mean, she's pregnant, but she's not, the thing that she's carrying has not yet fully formed enough to be considered to have the status of a vlad, or of a child yet. And if that case, if she has a miscarriage and she will not be tummy because of tumas yoledes, because of a woman who's given birth, but if she sees blood with this miscarriage, then she'll become only tummy because of nida and not because of yoledes. So in other words, on a deraisa level, she'll be tummy now when she sees blood, assuming she stops bleeding before the seventh day. She'll be tummy for a maximum of 7 days. And she will not have to be concerned, for example, that the child she's carrying is a girl, and she'll have to be tummy for 14 days. So before day 40, you're pretty much not scot-free, but you not have to be worried that what you're carrying is halakhically considered to be a fetus. So how do you know if a woman has been 40 days pregnant yet? So in the olden days, at least they used to think, some people say Nishtana Ateva, that it's different, that in the olden days it could have, they assumed that a woman could get pregnant again. In other words, she could bleed after she's already pregnant. She could get her period after she's already pregnant, and it could be pretty much like a normal period, even though nowadays that's basically impossible. A woman might spot a little bit, she might bleed somewhat when she's pregnant because of various reasons, but she's not going to have a full blood flow like her regular period. So in the olden days, basically, you couldn't really tell. The only way to tell for sure if a woman was 40 days pregnant or not is, let's say, her husband was on a business trip for 3 months, because we assume that a woman doesn't start to show in her pregnancy at all, in halacha, at least, unless she's at least 3 months pregnant. So let's say the husband was on a business trip for 3 months, and then he came back from his business trip, and they had relations. And then they did not have relations again for another 40 days. And then she had a miscarriage, so you know that she was less than 40 days pregnant, and she doesn't have to be concerned that she is halachically considered to have given birth, and therefore she would only be tummy if there was blood in this thing. Again, we assume also the yesh ef shel psichas hakever below dam, that if something came out of her uterus, then she has to be concerned that there was blood, even if she didn't find blood. That's how he passed him, although it's a machlokas in Chazal. But nevertheless, that's really the only way that you could be 100% sure that she was less than 40 days pregnant, at least in the olden days. But nowadays, we have two things. One is that nowadays, if a woman has her regular period, she's not pregnant. There's no way around that. So many posts can feel that nowadays we should just rely on that, since we should go based on what we observe nowadays, that she has a regular period. You assume she was not pregnant, and then she has a miscarriage less than 40 days after her mikveh night, then you know for sure that she was not halachically considered to be having a miscarriage, and therefore she only has the problem of nida, and not of Yoledis. So again, she also, certainly if there was some sort of laboratory test or pregnancy test, home pregnancy test, that are extremely accurate, that combined with the fact that she had her period, so then there's no two ways about it. So nowadays we definitely consider that she would not be worried that she was actually, halakhically speaking, giving giving birth or having a miscarriage. So she's not concerned that she's actually giving birth at this point. So in some ways there is a kula, in some ways there is a chumra, because even though, let's say if she had a miscarriage, she doesn't know what gender the child is, so she would have to be tummy for a minimum of 14 days. Right, because she might be carrying a female child. So if she's just tummy because of Nida, then she could well be tummy for less than 14 days. Because nowadays we have the minhag, at least the Ashkenazim have the strong custom that we wait at least 12 days. That's right, 7 plus 5 is 12. We wait at least 12 days. She bleeds for longer, it could be longer. But we wait at least 12 days before going to the mikvah. So in the olden days, when they only waited a maximum, a total of 7 days under normal circumstances, so it's a big kula. So she only has to wait the 7 days. She doesn't have to wait 14 days because she might be having a female child. But nowadays, she could, in theory, if she bleeds for a minimum amount of time, less than 5 days, then she only has to be concerned for the 12 days, the 5 days plus the 7 days, and she doesn't have to wait the 14 days. So big whoop, she saved. I mean, it's a big deal, but she saved 2 days as opposed to in the olden days where she could have saved 7 days. But there is a chumrah also, as we'll discuss a little bit more later, because as we mentioned briefly, and we'll get to more in a second, there is a certain period of time after a woman gives birth, after she finishes her tummy days, where she has a certain number of tahor days, and even if she's bleeding, then she is completely tahor, and she doesn't have to worry at all. She's allowed to be with her husband. And obviously, that only applies when she certainly gave birth. But if she is not sure she gave birth, in other words, or halakhically, she certainly did not give birth in terms of when she's been pregnant for less than 40 days, then she does not have those tahor days either. So in other words, she could be, either it's a kula or it's a chumra. So if she's bleeding for a short period of time, then she could go to the mikvah after 7 on a deraisa level, or 12, as it's practiced nowadays, time from when she had the miscarriage. But then she does not have the later days when she's bleeding and she's tahor anyway. Because maybe she's only tummy because of Nida, not because of Yoledes. So maybe she had a dry birth, which is a concept we mentioned last time. It's a little bit hard for us to understand nowadays. Who ever heard of a dry birth? There's always some sort of bleeding when a woman gives birth. But assuming she gave birth without blood at all, so in this time, she gave birth to something. In other words, she had this miscarriage, even though it's not halakhically considered to be a fetus. Then she would still, like I said, even if her uterus opened to give birth forth something, you see a little blob of something, who knows what, but it's not blood. It's a completely different color. It doesn't have the consistency of blood. It doesn't contain blood at all. It's completely dry. So then we assume that there was still some blood and you just didn't notice, because we paskin, everyone basically except the Rambam paskins, EF shalipsicha sekever belodam, when a woman's uterus opens, at least from the inside, we discussed last time that's a machlokas, as to whether even if something opens a woman's cervix from the outside, whether that's also considered psicha sekever, a halachic opening of the uterus. But certainly when something's coming out from the inside, so then if it opens a certain width, some people say even a little bit, some people say it has to be the size of a spinning thing, the thing that's attached to the spinning wheel, which is about the size of a finger. In any case, so if the miscarried thing is at least that big, or some people say even if it's very small and had the uterus had to open a little bit, then we'd be concerned that there was blood, and she'd have to wait, at least because of Tumas Nida, she'd have to wait the minimum of 7 on a Daraisa level, or 12 on the way it's practiced nowadays, days. V'chol isha sheyesh la tumas leida, yesh la yemei tohar midin Torah. There's a very interesting halacha on a deraisa level, and maybe even on a derabana level also, as we'll see in a second, which is, v'mei tohar yom heim lamed gimel lezachar v'samech vav l'nikeva. So you have 33 days for a male child and 66 for a female child. How does that work? Again, if a woman gives birth to a boy, so she's tamei for 7 days. And remember, the Torah says, talks about up until 40 days, she should be Yosheves al Demei Tahara. That until 40 days are up, so then at that point, she will sit on her blood of purity. So meaning, from the day 8 till day 40, she has days of purity. So that's a total of 33 days. 40 minus 7 is 33. So she has 37 days where she's Tomei no matter what. And then 33 days following the 7 days, for a total of a whole unit of Leda days of 40 days, where she is Tahor no matter what. And the same for the female, that the total unit is 80 days, comprised of 14 days of for sure Tamei at the beginning, and then after the 14 days are over, then she begins a set of 66 days till she gets to 80 days, where she is completely Tahor, even if she's bleeding as tons and tons of blood, then she's still completely Tahor. She's allowed to be with her husband. That's the... Don't get confused. We haven't finished the practical halacha yet. This is, we're talking D'araisa now. We're talking D'araisa now. The Inyan who came. Din Torah sha'isha achar shiyolda mona shiva yomim yom aleida. Again, we're talking about she gave birth to a boy. So mi D'araisa, a woman counts 7 days from when she gives birth. Bein shiyolda b'tchilas halayla. So, if it all depends on the halachic day. So the first day that she gives birth is considered day one, no matter, again, we go the halachic day goes from night until the following evening. So let's say she gave birth at night, so that whole first day from night until next evening is considered day number one, and then you have 6 days afterwards. And if she gave birth in the late afternoon, so that day is still considered to be day number one until the night of the following day. So it's kedai, you know, it's kedai to give birth on the, doesn't really matter so much anymore, but it's kedai to give birth in the late afternoon, so you're tummy for less time, because the first day is, if you give birth later in the day, so you have less time. Previously, before that, you're tahor, and then if you give birth later in the day, so you'll have less time until day number two already starts. Mona osa ayom shaleida yom echad umashlim olav shisha yom. So that's day number one, and then 6 full days, complete days, no matter what, after that. Ubein roek tzas yomim min ashiva, oh, kol ashiva, not tied into whether she's actually actively bleeding or not, whether she gives birth on day number one, 6 more days, she's tummy no matter what, bleeding, not bleeding. So le'erev shel shvi shu leil shmini tovela su tahora labaila. So on the night of the 8th day, so after 7, after 1 either complete or partial day, depending on when she gives birth, and 6 absolutely complete days, so at nighttime, follow the completion of those 7 days, so she immerses herself in the mikvah. It has to be after nighttime, because that 6th day, that 6th day following the 1st day, in other words, after the conclusion of the 7 days, it has to be a full day. The day has to be completely over, like Shabbos. That's not over until it gets dark out. So after it's for sure halakhically nighttime, so then she immerses herself in the mikvah, and she is allowed to be with her husband. Vafilu shofaz dam beoso lel shmini tovelas utahor labaila. Shatora hitira kol hadamim shatira beosa yoledas achar shiva yamim lezachar besoch lamegimol yom. Because, and she doesn't have to make hefsek tara, she doesn't have to make sure she stopped bleeding or anything like that, because it doesn't matter if she's still bleeding. The Torah, the way it works for a yoledes is that she's, for a boy, is that she's tamei for 7 days, and then for the 33 days following, she's, as long as she goes to the mikvah, obviously, after the 7 days, but she is, the blood that she sees is completely tahar. She's allowed to be with her husband, even if she's bleeding heavily. Whether she'd want to, as Charlie mentioned last time, is a different story. But we do definitely hear stories about people who actually took advantage of this halacha, and they were with their wives immediately after the 7 days of the birth. It's a little bit hard for us to understand, because the famous Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Tazria, which says, why is the Bris Milah on the 8th day? So it says, because you don't want, you want the Bris Milah to follow, God wanted the Bris Milah to follow the 7 days where the woman is tummy after the birth of the boy, because they don't want, God didn't want the parents of the baby to be sad because they can't be together during the time of the bris. So they at least should be able to you know, reacquaint themselves and be happier at the bris, because they were so, you know, all they wanted to do for the previous 7 days is have relations. They were eyeing each other longingly, because that's all they really wanted to do. And now finally they can, so now they'll be happy at the bris. So she can go to the mikvah even if she's actively bleeding, which is very strange. She might dirty the mikvah, but she's allowed to go to the mikvah on the night, on the eighth night after she gives birth, and she will become tohor for her husband again. V'achar yudalad l'nikeva besoch samech vav yom. Yeah, of course, exact same halachos of
can be bleeding.
Right, if there's dried blood on her, then she would have to get it off because that would be a chatzitza.
But
if it's wet blood, it's okay, because it's going to get washed away immediately by the water of the mikvah. So it's going to be... But, v'al zeh, amru zichronim levracha, ki mayan echad hu, v'atora ti ma'atu, v'atora ti haratu. There's a disagreement in the Gemara and Maseches Nida about what's going on over here. How could it be that the woman is tahor for, as tamei for 7 days, or 14 days, then completely tahor no matter what, for the next 33 or 66 days? Is it the pshat, the way Levi says in the Gemara, that there are two different sources of blood in a woman's body? And after she gives birth, again, this is not the way we understand it now scientifically, but according to Levi, there's a, when a woman first gives birth, there is one source of blood that spurts forth blood for 7 or 14 days, depending on whether it's a boy or a girl. And then, at the end of the 7 or 14 days, that faucet shuts off, and a different source of blood in the woman's body opens up, and first one is tamei, the second one is tahor, the different sources of blood, so it's completely different natures of the blood, so it's no problem whatsoever during the second period. But that's the halacha does not follow Levi, the halacha follows Rav, which is definitely more in line with our understanding scientifically nowadays, which is that there's one source of blood from the uterus, and it, the Torah tima'atu v'atorah tiaratu, the Torah forbade it for 7 or 14 days, and afterwards it's just the gzeras hakosuv, it's one of the divine rules that's hard to understand, and that she is this same blood, which normally uterine blood is always tamei, but for these, it's specifically for these 33 or 66 days that the blood is tahor. And it's pointed out that according to Rav, the Gemara points out that according each one has a kula and a chumra. So according to Levi, if on the seventh day that she, after she's given birth, say for her boy, so she continues to bleed without any stoppage whatsoever, even if she bleeds into night of the eighth day, she can't go to the mikveh yet, because it's obvious that the first source of blood didn't turn off yet, and the blood is still coming from the tummy source. Until it stops a little bit, then you know that that stopped, and then the new blood that's continuing is coming from the new source. And the same thing, Levi has a kula, because at the end of the 33 or 66 days, so let's say she's still bleeding with no stops, that would all be considered dam tahor, that's pure blood, because obviously the pure blood didn't stop, turn off yet, and the tummy blood, if she starts bleeding again, does not have a chance to kick in. So, but again, we don't pass like that. We pass in the Gemara's conclusion is Hilchas HaKevasi de Rav, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. We completely follow Rav, even though it results in a Kula, meaning even if she's bleeding continuously at the end of the seventh day, and she's bleeding continuously into the night of the eighth day, she can still go to the mikvah because it's the same source of blood. That's true, but now the Torah declares it permissible, so she can go to the mikvah after the night of the eighth, of the seventh, or the 14th day. And then Rav is a chumra at the end also, because even if she's continuously bleeding at the end of the 33rd or 66th day of purity, then she would be, and if she goes, continues bleeding into the night of the 41st day or the 81st day, then she would be a tamei, because it's the same blood, the same type of blood, coming from the same source. But now that the 40 or 80 days are over, now the Torah declares a tamei again, and she would have to consider herself tamei. Kilomar, says the Sefer Chinuch, shedemei haleda shetima haTorah udemei haTohar shetiara haTorah mimakom echad v'hu min hamakor. It all comes from the uterus. V'hu makom tuma yotzos shnehen. Comes out, all the blood comes out from the same place. The Torah says that depending on the time, what time it is after giving birth, either this blood is tamei or it's tahor. titma hadam ayotze imena bizman acher v'titar hasheni. Sometimes it's tar, sometimes it's tummy. O baruch hayodea kol hachachma ki hakol asa betam nachon u'mechuyav. So God knows what he's doing. V'hu baruch hu yada she'ad osu hazman adamim hazikin u'mesham ve'ilach lo yaziku. So for some reason we talked about these reasons why this blood means extra stuff in the body of the woman, and the blood is coming out, and that's why it's like a sickly thing that a man should not have contact with. That's the way the Sefer Chinuch was understanding this mitzvah. So the Torah says that for some reason, the Torah knows that for the first 7 days, the blood is indicative of unwellness, and for the 33 days after that, the blood is not indicative of unwellness. And at the end, that's just the way it is, yeah? That was all the halacha as a Dana D'Oraisa level, and as a matter of fact, on a D'Rabbanan level as well. According to Talmudic law, that is the way it works. A woman goes to the mikveh after day 7 or day 14, whether she's bleeding or not, and she is now permissible to her husband. But as we all know, what?
That's not the way
it works. As we all know, this is not the way it works anymore. Ve'achshav nagu kol Yisrael ve'godru atzman linhog tuma b'dmei tohar kemo b'mei tuma. So our minhag nowadays is to consider all uterine blood at all times tamei. So even if even if she sees blood during these 33 or 66 days, she would still consider it to be tamei, and she would have to stop bleeding and count 7 clean days after the conclusion of the bleeding. Uchlal ha'inyan. She'ein ha'isha achshav ola mitumasa la'olam ad she'tamot shiva yamim shleimim nikiyam mikol dam. Nowadays, we just make life harder in some ways, but easier in others in terms of keeping track of the halachas, which is that if a woman sees uterine blood, she can never, no matter what, we don't think about whether it's tahor, whether it's tameh, whether anything like this, she always counts 7 clean days after the conclusion of the bleeding. But after the evening following the conclusion of the bleeding, she can start counting the 7 clean days. This is what all good Jews are supposed to do, and it prevents from you getting into all these doubts about exactly what's going on, what kind of blood it is. It saves you from being confused between Nida and Zava and Yoledes and all these things. So it's actually a disagreement between the Rishonim, between the Rambam on one hand and other Rishonim, including the Ramban on the other hand. So the Rambam writes that this is not a Talmudic law. We know that the Talmud tells us that Benos Yisrael, Amar Reb Zera says, Benos Yisrael hechmiru al atzman, leishev afilu roos tibazdam kechardol yoshua salav shiva nekiyim, that our Jewish women adopted the practice, which was then rubber stamped by the Chachamim and made into absolute halacha, that as if they saw any blood, then they considered it as if she might be a Zava, and we'll discuss a little bit more in a few weeks what exactly a Zava is, that she might be a Zava Gidola. She has a Zava who's been bleeding for a few days already, and that requires for her to wait 7 days. Again, we pointed out on a D'Oraisa level, a woman, when she has her regular period, she only has to wait 7 days when the beginning of the period, and it's only a Zava that has to wait the 7 clean days, but we made everything the same. And a woman has to wait 7 clean days following the cessation of any bleeding. So the Rambam writes that Talmudic law that's rubber stamped by the Chachamim and made an absolutely Dina de Gemara Talmudic law does not apply to Dam Tohar, does not apply to the pure blood of the 33 and 66 days, because the reason is that the Benos Yisrael, the Jewish women, only adopted the stringency to wait 7 clean days after the cessation of any bleeding when the blood is tummy blood. But here you have a period of time where you know for sure that there's absolutely no chance that the blood can be tummy. It's going to be tahor no matter what, even if she is bleeding uterine blood. And all other cases, when she's bleeding uterine blood, she is tummy. So in order to avoid confusion between tummy types of uterine blood, she has to wait the 7 clean days after she ceases bleeding. But that does not apply to blood, to tahor uterine blood. It only applies to uterine blood that is intrinsically tummy. So he writes that the custom in Spain was that, like the Sefer HaChinuch writes, that, and he points out that this, that the Geonim, the authorities after the conclusion of the Talmud, promulgated the rule that because in order to avoid further confusion, then they should, Jewish women should sit 7 clean days even after the conclusion of the bleeding during Yemei Tohar, during the days which under the rice level are for sure Tahor. And he says that that was the accepted practice in Spain, and that we shouldn't deviate from that. But the Rambam says a funny line. He says, Shamanu shebitzarfas bolin aldam Tohar kedin ha-Talmud. He said, we heard through the grapevine a rumor, a salacious rumor, that in France, they did not adopt this stringency. They kept with the original Talmudic law. Again, it was not an absolute Talmudic law to do this. So he said it was dependent on the local custom. He said that in most countries that he was familiar with, in Spain and Morocco and Egypt, all those types of areas, that they did have the stringency that they waited 7 clean days after Dam Tohar. But he said that in France, they did not abide by this stringency. And they continued to have Dam Tohar. They observed the Dam Tohar according to the Talmudic law. However, this was very strongly disagreed with by the Ramban, Nachmanides, who writes, he has a very cute, concise sefer on Hilchos Nida. It almost seems like something that would be written nowadays. It's a genre. It was ahead of its time in terms of the genre of the Kitzur Sefer. So he writes that he thinks that the stringency to sit 7 clean days after Dam Tohar is Medina de Gemara, it's Talmudic law, that this is included in the stringency of that the Jewish women all adopted the practice to wait 7 clean days after the cessation of any bleeding, even though technically, yes, there's no possibility that this blood could be Tomei, still it's included in that. So the Ramban considers that to be absolute halacha, and it is not subject to local custom, and all Jewish women and their husbands who are associated with that must observe this custom, this law. So just to backtrack for a second, well, in terms of the way we treat actual women who are giving birth, so the Rambam writes that even in France, where they were lenient about the Dam Tohar, they still had to observe 7 clean days because of the birth itself. So how does that make sense? Because she gives birth, then she's tamei for 7 days, then everything is clean. So why should she have to count 7 clean days? So we have an extremely rare case of something that's called yoledes bezov, a woman who gives birth while she is a zava. In other words, azava is the abnormal bleeding that follows her period during the 11-day period following her regular 7-day period. So how could a woman be a yoledes bezov? How could she be a yoledes while she's a azava? There are two mitigating factors that declare this extremely unlikely. One is, while a woman is pregnant, she does normally not bleed at all. So it's extremely unlikely for her to bleed and still have a viable pregnancy. I mean, again, even if the baby was stillborn, she would still be tamei leida. But it's very unlikely that a woman would bleed that she'd be a zava while she was giving birth.
No,
yeah,
have to be.
And then we have another mitigating factor, which is called dam koshi, which is that while a woman is in labor, according again to Torah law. So if she sees blood, that is also considered to be tohor, that is not tomei. And there are complex rules about how long before she gives birth is it considered to be damkoshi, how long can she stop in between the damkoshi and it still be considered to be damkoshi. There are complex rules. But in any case, most blood that she sees right before she gives birth is going to be in the category of damkoshi, and it's going to be tohor. So it's a very complex calculation of exactly how she can be a yoledes bezov, how she can be a zava and be giving birth at the same time. But nevertheless, everybody agrees to this, that the part of the stringency of Reb Zera, of the Jewish women who accepted the 7 clean days, is to treat every birth as a yoledes bezov, and to require 7 clean days after the cessation of any bleeding during the birth period. Now, the problem is, so when the Rambam says that in Sarfas, Bolin al-Dam Tohar Kedin HaTalmud, that in France they had the custom that they had relations even if she was seeing Dam Tohar like the Talmud, that means that what? That means that she gave birth, she counted 7 clean days after she gave birth, and she was still within the 40 or 80 days. And she counted 7 clean days, and she went to the mikveh. And
And afterwards, she saw more blood during the 33 or 66 clean days, according to Rambam. That's the case where in this France they were Baal Adam Torah. They did not observe the Din D'Oraisa, that they just went to the mikveh after 7 or 14 days from the birth, and then no matter if she was bleeding or what or not, everybody agrees that you need 7 clean days after giving birth. But if she did see blood after she went to the mikveh within these 66 or 33 days, then she, according to this French minhag in the Middle Ages, then she would still be tahor. The French like their romance. They didn't want to be stymied in any way. That was not a strict dina de gemara. That is the practice as done nowadays by everyone, like I said, is that we do not have the leniency of dam tohar, but nevertheless, we do have to count 7 clean days after the woman gives birth. There is a disagreement in the Gemara between Abaye and Rava of what we call Yimei Nidasa She'ena Roa Bahen Einam Olim Lisvira Zivasa or not. So the question is, so now a woman gave birth, now she has to count 7 clean days, right? Because of this minhag of Bnos Yisrael, Hechmiru al Atzman. That's the way sometimes minhagim can be so accepted by the Jewish people and have the stamp of approval of all the sages so that it becomes binding practice for future generations. It's a good question. It even happens in less stringent areas than this. Even the Chasam Sofer says that even if the halacha, we're just talking about the issue of milk, whether the Chol of Yisrael, whether the Jews actually have to supervise the milk or not. So he says, even if the halacha follows the Pri Chodesh, who's lenient, that the Jew doesn't actually have to watch the milking, as long as he can be reasonably certain that there's no...
Reasonably certain.
Pretty certain. Certain. In other words, to the extent that there are no non-kosher animals in the area, or they're more expensive, there's no way that a non-Jew would want to mix non-kosher.
That obtain in the United States.
Oh, yeah. The United States is better because we have government supervision. Here, the Pri Chodesh is talking about even if there is no government supervision, there's no supervision at all, but there's no reason to assume that there'd be any way that a non-Jew would put it in non-kosher milk. So the Pri Chodesh says that. So the Chasam Sofer says that even if the Pri Chodesh is right, the Ashkenazi minhag is that we are stringent to have a Jew actually watching the milking, and the Chachamim approved of this minhag, so this is absolutely binding for all generations of Ashkenazi Jews, that a Jew actually has to be present physically watching the milking. And everybody agrees with that, but the Chasam Sofer, again, he doesn't like changing things, so he feels like a lot of these things have the status of actually binding minhag, even on a much smaller scale than this minhag of waiting 7 days after bleeding stops. But that for sure had the stamp of approval of the sages of the Talmud, so that's for sure binding for everyone. At least until we have a Sanhedrin again. And they,
yeah? Mean,
there's a disagreement in the Gemara. Let's say a woman now needs to count the 7 clean days after she's given birth. So, the 7 or 14 days after she's given birth are for sure tummy. But let's say she happens not to have seen blood during these 7 days, or 14 days. So do those count towards the 7 days of the 7 clean days or not? Rava says that let's say she gave birth to a girl, right? So let's say she's bleeding for 5 days after she gives birth. I know that's probably very little, but she's bleeding for 5 days after she gives birth. Then she makes hefsek tara, she examines herself to make sure she's not bleeding anymore. Then she can start counting the 7 clean days immediately, and she'll conclude the 7 clean days on day 12. And then, of course, she has to wait the 2 more days before going to the mikvah, because it can't be less than the D'Oraisa that she can't go to the mikvah before 14 days. But nevertheless, even though those are tummy days for sure, if they're clean, there's no blood, then she still has to count, those do count towards the 7 clean days of the Zava, and she'd be allowed to go to the mikvah immediately on the night of the 15th. Or if she gave birth to a boy and she's bled for 2 days, then she'd be allowed to go to the mikvah immediately on the night of the 10th day, because she already finished her Daraisa days of Tumah. She's allowed to go to the mikvah anytime after 7 days, so she just has to count wait for the 7 clean days to end, and then she would be allowed to go to the mikvah and become Tahar. That's Rava's opinion. Abaye's opinion is that since these days the Torah declared them tamei, so they don't count towards the 7 clean days. So if she gave birth to a boy, she'd have to wait the 7 days of the boy, and then only then start counting 7 clean days. And similarly, she has to only start counting 7 clean days after the 14 days after birth of the girl. So every Rishon except one, Paskins like Rava, that Yemeli Dasa Sheina Roam Behem Olin Lisvira Zivasa, that it works, that she can count this, the 7 clean days can be during the 7 or 14 days after a birth of a boy or a girl, and theoretically she could go to the mikvah if she stopped bleeding again, immediately on the night of the 14th if she gave birth to a girl, if her 7 clean days were completed during that period. However, and some Rishonim actually, by the way, Rashi says in a tshuva that even Abaye, who's stringent, is only working within a different opinion in the Gemara that's not accepted. But practically speaking, even Abaye agrees that with Rava that she could start counting the 7 clean days even within the 7 or 14 days of after birth. So the Rabbeinu Tam paskins like Abaye. He said that we know that the Talmud has a principle that normally we paskin like Rava, except in 6 cases, which are called the Ya'al Kegam, which is an abbreviation for Yud, Ayin, Lamed, Kuf, Gimel, Mem, which stand for the cases about which they argue. So the Rabbeinu Tam says that the Lamed of Ya'al Kegam stands for Leidasa, the birthday days of after birth. So the Rabbeinu Tam holds that we follow Abaye, and she cannot start counting the 7 clean days until after 14 days after the birth of a girl, or after 7 days after the birth of a boy. But this is rejected by everyone. The Shulchan Aruch does not paskin like this at all. What do we hold that the Lamed is of Ya'al Kegam? We paskin hold like Abaye. So Machlok is an Eruvin called Lechi Ha'omed Me'elov. If you have like I don't know how to describe it in English. If you have like a pole type of thing at the end of an alleyway, then what? Right, but it's not even. It's in certain cases you don't even need the thing on top. You just need one side pole on the end of the alleyway. So the machlok is between Abaye and Rav over there is that Abaye holds that even if it just happens to be there without you giving any thought to it, like there happens to be a tree planted there or something like that, that's within 3 tvachim of the wall, so then that would be okay and that would be considered to be a lechi. And Rav holds, no, it has to be specifically intended to be a lechi, and there we paskin like Abaye, although, again, according to, we paskin like Abaye, that the lechi amud meilav is okay, that it doesn't have to be specifically for the purpose of a lechi. So that's the difference with that's a famous machlokes because of what the lamed of Ya'al Kegam is between Rabbeinu Tam and all the other Rishonim, but nevertheless, we do paskin like this. This is the halacha lemaisa that as soon as she can make a hefsek tara, that she stops bleeding and she can count 7 clean days, she can go to the mikvah, provided, of course, it's always going to be after a birth of a boy, it's by definition, it's going to be after the 7 days. But for a birth of the girl, in theory, she could complete the 7 clean days before she's allowed to go to the mikvah, because she would have to wait the minimum of 14 days after she gave birth in order to go to the mikvah. That's the halacha lemaisa. Technically, you're allowed to do this. However, the doctors recommend that in general, a woman should not resume relations with her husband until they get the go-ahead in about 6 weeks. If a woman should see her doctor or her midwife after 6 weeks after she gives birth, and then should make sure everything is healing properly, everything's okay. And at that point, in general, she goes to the mikvah after 6 weeks. That's the general standard. Some people recommend, it's a difference of opinion, just approach between different rabbis. Some recommend that a woman should not even attempt to make a hefsek tara before 5 weeks after she's given birth, because she's just going to get frustrated if she has a clean hefsek and then she starts bleeding again. Just going to get frustrating. At 5 weeks is a reasonable time where she's not going to be bleeding anymore, so she shouldn't get frustrated, and she can't really usually have relations before 6 weeks anyway, so she might as well just go to the mikvah at the 6 weeks and call it a day. Other people are going to say no. Whenever she feels comfortable, she feels like she stops bleeding, she can make a hefsek then, and then she could go to the mikvah. Let's say it just makes life easier, that she can, even if they're not ready to have relations yet, but she can at least touch her husband in other ways. It could be easier to care for the baby together if they're allowed to touch, at least in that sense. And even if they're not ready to have relations yet, there are Kabbalistic considerations that some consider it dangerous for a woman to go to the mikvah and not have relations with her husband that very night, but that's not an absolute halacha, and that there are other mitigating factors. Yeah, there are ways, even al-pi Kabbalah, to get around that, but certainly if there are there are reasons why a woman wants to go to the mikvah early, and if her rabbi or Yoetzet Halacha or whatever tells her that her approach is that she should make a hefsek whenever she feels comfortable and she go to the mikvah earlier, then that is okay. The Rambam discusses a practice that he decries, which is that a woman should not go to the mikvah. There was a custom in certain places, apparently, that a woman, after giving birth to a boy, did not go to the mikvah until the end of the 40 days. Or when she gave birth to a girl, she did not go to the mikvah until the end of the 80 days. Now, most of the time, it's after 40. Woman goes to mikvah after 40 days from the birth of a boy anyway, just because of she's not strong enough. But again, we find that in the olden days, they must have been stronger, because they used to go to the mikvah 7 days afterwards, and they used to resume an active love life right away. But in any case, there was this practice. The Rambam says that this is completely wrong, and it comes from the Karaites. So he says this is completely wrong. If a woman in your shul comes to you and tells you that she wants to do this, just tell her, no, you should go to the mikvah earlier. You should not observe this minhag. It's terrible. But the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch that in a place where this is the custom, you can't, he did not as against it as the Rambam. He says there might be reasons for it. Different poskim give different justifications for this practice. One is that we're choshish for Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam, why are we choshish for Rabbeinu Tam? So Rabbeinu Tam said that the days of the 7 or 14 days do not count towards the 7 clean days for Yoledes Bezov. But he says that, so he extrapolates, is the way the Rambam explains why Rabbeinu Tam might explain this practice, where he says that the Yemei Leidasa, the days after, Tamei days after childbirth, before which you're not allowed to count the 7 clean days from Azava, do not start till after you go to the mikvah. Right? So in other words, if a woman wants to take advantage, so Rabbeinu Tam, again, not like all the other Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam says, since Yemei the days where a woman is tamei because of Leda don't count for the 7 clean days, so then the 7 clean days, the days of childbirth, tamei after childbirth, don't end till you go to the mikvah. So even if she cannot start, even if she finishes the 14 days and she doesn't go to the mikvah, she's still tamei because of Leda, and she can't start counting the 7 clean days. But what the Rambam...
Wait a second, after the 7 days she goes to mikvah again?
That's according to according to Rabbeinu Tam, what a woman would do is she'd go to the mikvah immediately on conclusion of the 7 or 14 days, and she still would not be allowed to be with her husband. Then she can start counting the 7 clean days, and she would have to go to the mikvah again. That's correct. That's the way the Ramah interprets Rabbeinu Tam, going in one opinion in the Gemara. It's all discussion, but that's the way he interprets it. So then, that's the case, he says that even Rabbeinu Tam would agree that she could, again, this is somewhat questionable, but they're searching to find the reason for this minhag. He says, Ramah says that maybe Rabbeinu Tam would even agree that she could start counting the 7 clean days without going to the mikvah if she waits all the way till the end of the unit of childbirth days. Of the 40 or 80 days. So again, that wouldn't mean that the woman could go to the mikvah immediately after the 40 or 80 days. I mean, then she would have to start counting the 7 clean days after the 40 or 80 days. This is the Ramah's suggested explanation of this.
Why make things easier if you can make them harder?
Hold on. That's the Ramah's suggested explanation of this practice. Other people explain this practice in a different way, which is that the Gemara in Psachim, of all places, says that a husband and wife should not be together on the night of the 41st, after a boy, or the 81st after a girl, because they're going to get confused that she's going to still be bleeding, and they're going to be used to being together. They're going to have relations even if she's bleeding, because she was allowed for the previous 33 or 66 days. So if they, on the cutoff night, they might have relations, and they're so used to having relations even though she's bleeding, that even though it's tummy now, they're going to continue having relations. So that's another reason, so that way she shouldn't go to mikvah, according to this idea, until after the night of the 41st or the 81st, so you shouldn't have relations on that night. But according to the most poskim, that's also fallacious, because the Gemara is only talking about when they had the practice to have relations during the Dam Tohar period. But nowadays, that we treat Dam Tohar as being Tameh, then we do not have this. You don't have to be careful about not having relations on the night of the 41st or the 81st day, because you know if she's bleeding, then you're not gonna be together. So again, this was a practice that existed according to the Rambam. It's terrible according to other poskim. It's not so terrible, but in any case, we do not have this practice nowadays. Halacha lemaisa, the practical halacha conclusion is that when a woman gives birth, she is allowed to count 7 clean days as soon as she can and go to the mikvah, provided that it's after 7 days, of which it will be, of course, if she gives birth to a boy, or 14 days after she gives birth to a girl. That is the halacha. But, again, we normally, it usually doesn't take that, fast, and usually it's going to be a little bit longer than that. Some poskim, by the way, really don't like this idea. The poskim say some kaleis of the custom randomly to wait four weeks or different numbers of weeks just to give the woman a chance to get stronger. So the poskim, some poskim say, yeah, that's great. Just give woman a little bit time to relax. Just she shouldn't feel pressure to make a hefsek earlier. That's great. Others say, no, you shouldn't give a blanket rule, because let's say there's it's not good for the husband, because if the husband is feels the desire, again, hopefully he'll be in tune with the wife also, but let's say the husband feels the desire to be with his wife before the 6 weeks, and she can become Tohar, and theoretically, you know, she's up for it, so then it's not right to impose a blanket time to prevent the couple from fulfilling their sexual desires and just causing frustration. But again, should try to make sure that she's definitely, everybody agrees that a woman should make sure she's strong enough and shouldn't enforce anything that's not the proper time.